We bring you the news from Tokyo. I'm Keiko Kitagawa. In our top stories, UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon says he will assure survivors of the 1945 atomic bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki that he will work for a world without nuclear weapons. Japan's key long-term interest rate has fallen below 1% for the first time in 7 years. And the United Nations is appealing to the international community for emergency aid for the 1.8 million flood victims in Pakistan most at risk. Now the news in detail. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon says he will assure survivors of the 1945 atomic bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki that he will work for a world without nuclear weapons. Ban arrived here in Japan on Tuesday to visit Hiroshima and Nagasaki on the 65th anniversary of the atomic bombings. He spoke to NHK in Tokyo on Wednesday, one day after his arrival in Japan.
I will visit Nagasaki and Hiroshima to send a very important and strong message to the world that a nuclear threat is real and that we must do everything we can to build on the current global momentum towards a nuclear weapon-free world.
Ban also referred to the atomic bombings as the worst disaster human beings have ever experienced. He noted the long sufferings of Hibakusha or those who survived the bombings and said such experiences should never be repeated. He said that as Secretary General of the United Nations, he is in Japan to express profound sympathies to the Hibakusha and assure them of his determination to realize a world free of nuclear weapons. Ban also pledged to work with U.S. President Barack Obama and step up efforts for nuclear disarmament, including a conference in September in New York. Ban noted that Japan achieved its status as the world's second biggest economic power despite being the only victim of nuclear warfare. He said he hopes Japan will play a greater role for nuclear disarmament. Japan's Foreign Minister Katsuya Okada and UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon have reconfirmed that they will work together to eradicate nuclear weapons. Okada told Ban in Tokyo that a world without nuclear weapons is a big target for the future and it's very important to take a realistic step towards it. He said a detailed roadmap will be needed to realize a nuclear-free world. The foreign minister added that he wants to work closely with the United Nations for that purpose. Ban replied that he wants to further expand the partnership between the United Nations and Japan to eliminate nuclear weapons. Also on Wednesday, Ban met with about 300 students at Tokyo's Waseda University. He has stressed his determination to aim for a nuclear-free world and asked young Japanese to keep alive memories of the atomic bombings of 1945. Ban told the students he knows of the devastation of conflict, having been forced to flee his home as a child during the Korean War. He said he's going to Hiroshima and Nagasaki to deliver the message that such a human tragedy should never happen again. Referring to Japan's role in the world community, Ban expressed hope that Japan would take part in more UN peacekeeping operations abroad and offer more assistance to developing countries despite its own economic woes. The students who took part in the meeting said they were impressed by Ban's urging young people to become leaders and to study with a broader vision rather than focusing attention inward. Japan's defense minister Toshimi Kitazawa says the government will consider sending self-defense force helicopters to UN peacekeeping operations if asked to do so by the United Nations. Kitazawa made the remark at a meeting with UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon in Tokyo on Wednesday. Ban referred to a recent decision by Japan's government not to send SDF helicopter units to UN peacekeeping activities in Sudan. He said that while he respects the decision, he would like to see SDF helicopter units join such missions elsewhere. Kitazawa said he's aware that helicopters are high in demand and that he'll seriously consider the matter. He added that the Democrat-led government intends to take every opportunity to contribute abroad. Pan thanked Japan for quickly deploying SDF personnel to Haiti for relief operations after its devastating earthquake in January. South Korea says it will begin an anti-submarine drill on Thursday in the Yellow Sea, where a North Korean torpedo allegedly sank a South Korean naval ship in March. Rear Admiral Kim Gyeong-sik of South Korea's Joint Chiefs of Staff made the announcement on Wednesday. The planned five-day drill comes after a recent joint U.S.-South Korean naval drill in the Sea of Japan. It will involve 4,500 personnel from the Army, Navy and Air Force, plus 20 destroyers and submarines and 50 aircraft. An exercise to prevent the landing of North Korean special forces is to be held in Paenyeon Island. The drill site is near the location of the sinking of the corvette, the Cheonan, which claimed 46 lives. North Korea denies any involvement in the sinking. Rear Admiral Kim says the drill will be aimed at warning North Korea against future provocations and to show the strength of the South Korean forces, which cannot tolerate provocation of any kind. The North Korean military on Tuesday warned of what it called a powerful physical retaliation for the upcoming drill. You're listening to NHK World Radio Japan in Tokyo. Japan's key long-term interest rate has fallen below 1% for the first time in 7 years. The yield on benchmark 10-year Japanese government bonds dipped briefly to 0.995% on Wednesday in Tokyo. The yield drops when the bond's price goes up. Investors intensified moves to buy the bonds in pursuit of a stable yield. Behind the moves is a shift in funds from equities to treasury bonds in the United States amid investors' concerns about the outlook for the U.S. economy. Recently announced key U.S. economic indexes were worse than the market had expected. Japanese and U.S. senior officials have agreed to work closely to impose new sanctions against Iran over its nuclear development. U.S. State Department Special Advisor for Nonproliferation and Arms Control Robert Einhorn and the Deputy Assistant Treasury Secretary Daniel Glazer are currently visiting Japan. On Wednesday, they met with Japanese State Secretary for Foreign Affairs Koichi Takemasa. Their visit to Tokyo follows the UN Security Council's adoption in June of additional sanctions against Iran. The U.S. official said the United States and the European Union have announced their own new sanctions on Iran. The officials called on Japan to take similar measures to accomplish international cooperation. Takemasa said Japan agrees with the United States and the EU that a clear policy against Iran is needed. And he said that Japan is preparing to finalize details on its own sanctions against Iran by the end of August. The United States has tightened sanctions on Iran by naming nearly two dozen firms as being owned or controlled by the Iranian government and is prohibiting their transactions with U.S. companies. On Tuesday, the Treasury Department announced the names of 21 firms in Germany, Italy and four other countries in the banking, issuance, insurance and mining industries. Among them is the Tokyo-based trading firm Ascotech Japan. The United States prohibits U.S. companies from doing business with the Iranian government, which it accuses of supporting terrorist activities. One U.S. official says Iran's government frequently changes the names of the firms it controls to evade sanctions, adding that it's important that the sanctions be implemented globally. The Tokyo-based firm named as a target of the latest U.N. sanctions against Iran is strongly criticizing the United States. Trading firm Ascotech Japan is among the 21 companies named by the U.S. government as being owned or controlled by the Iranian government. The firms are prohibited from doing business with U.S. firms. Ascotech Japan told NHK that the company has no reason to become the target of sanctions and is angered at the U.S. government's treatment. The company is fully owned by an Iranian government institution and was established in 1997. It said It has procured machinery parts from Japan and exported them to Iran. The company said it was greatly surprised at the latest measure and is now visiting Japanese vendors to explain the situation. Sources close to the Iranian embassy in Tokyo said they will closely monitor the matter. They said a serious impact is expected if Japanese companies hesitate to do business with the firms named by the U.S. The U.S. Senate has decided to put off voting on the ratification of a new U.S.-Russian arms reduction treaty until September, making it unclear whether it will be ratified before the midterm election in November. Chairman of Senate Foreign Relations Committee John Kerry on Tuesday said that the panel will postpone the vote on the treaty at the request of some senators to after September 13th when Congress restarts its business. The vote was supposed to be taken on Wednesday. The postponement reflects Democrats' judgment that more time is needed to win supporters among Republicans to secure a two-thirds majority on the Senate floor. The treaty appeared likely to pass the Senate committee after 12 hearings. Congressional watchers say it's not certain that Congress will approve the treaty before the midterm election in November, as the Obama administration had hoped. The treaty was signed by President Barack Obama and Russian President Dmitry Medvedev in April. It commits the two countries to cut the number of their deployed strategic nuclear warheads by 30% from the current treaty of 1,550 each within 7 years after it takes effect. It also calls for a cut in the number of launch vehicles, such as ballistic missiles, to half the previous ceiling. The United Nations is appealing to the international community for emergency aid for the 1.8 million flood victims in Pakistan most at risk. Torrential rains that fell mainly in Pakistan's northwestern region last week caused severe flooding in many areas, including central part of the country as well. Pakistan's Disaster Prevention Authority say more than 1,000 people have died and 59,000 homes were damaged. An estimated 3.2 million people are believed to have been affected by the floods. The UN World Food Programme says Pakistan is in urgent need of water and food for 1.8 million people after it received emergency food aid for just 40,000. The WFP says tents and other supplies are also needed for a large number of people who lost their homes. Pakistan's Meteorological Agency says it expects the heavy rains to continue for several more days, centering in the northern part of the country. There is also concern about possible outbreaks of cholera and other infectious diseases in the disaster areas. Countries around the world are offering aid to Pakistan. The Japanese government has decided to send emergency supplies worth $230,000, as well as grant aid of up to $3 million. The United States and China have also announced aid packages. The Japanese Red Cross and NHK are accepting donations from people in Japan from Wednesday through September 17th. New car sales in the United States rose 5.2% in July compared to the same month last year. In annualized terms, the number of new car sales marked the highest level since last August, when the U.S. government introduced a subsidy system for buyers of fuel-efficient cars replacing older models. U.S. market research firm Autodata said on Tuesday that July's new auto sales came to 1.05 million. The three major U.S. carmakers all saw a rise in sales, with 6.4% for General Motors, 5% for Chrysler, and 3.3% for Ford. Among Japanese carmakers, Toyota saw a 3.2% fall, while Honda had a 2% decline. However, the figures were still better than expected. This is in part seen as a reaction to a sharp increase in sales enjoyed by Japanese automakers last year due to the introduction of the subsidy system. U.S. new car sales have been recovering steadily until now, but experts point out that consumers are becoming cautious in their purchases. And that was the news from NHK World Radio Japan in Tokyo.